Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Good morning. Everybody good? Well, we're not good, but Jesus is. Amen. For you guests and visitors, we kind of roll with a theme here every year. And our theme for this year is an open door in 24. And God's been opening a lot of different doors for us here at Second Mile Church. Amen.
Amen.
And one of the doors that I'm praying that God will really just open up and we'll walk in it and through it is the door of evangelism, the door of witnessing, the door of soul winning, the door of sharing our faith. And so we're in the second of a sermon series on evangelism. That's a big Bible word for sharing your faith. Okay? So we're going to be in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 this morning. And you've been sitting for about 5 minutes, so let's stand again. Amen? All right. This is the word of the Lord for the Lord's people. Romans 1, 14. This is the Apostle Paul writing, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And I love verse 16. For I am not ashamed. For I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Isn't that great news? I thought I saw Coach Gregory. Where is he? He's hiding behind David Fry. All right, Coach, ask God to bless the word.
For my God, we pray. Thank you, Son.
Yes, Father. Help them, Father. Help us.
Hallelujah. I heard him pray over at the FCA banquet this week, and I thought Coach was going to go to preaching. I want to ask us a question this morning. Are we on the go? And I'm not just talking about going somewhere. I'm talking about, are we going with the gospel? Over and over again in the Bible, by the way, sharing our faith is the main business of the church. That's why God left us here, that we might share our faith with people. Our faith in Jesus Christ. Spreading the gospel is why we are here. And we're told all throughout the Bible, the Great Commission our Great Commandment tells us that we are to be on the go. Remember last week, the Holy Spirit told Philip to do what? To go. The early church was told to go. And we, as God's witnesses today, are told to go. And so I want you to be thinking about, am I on the go with the gospel this morning? And now, the Apostle Paul is right. He's headed to Rome, not as a sightseer, but as a soul winner. And he gets to Rome and he starts writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you know, outside of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul was the greatest soul winner in your Bible. And he was on the go with the gospel everywhere he went. And in our passage for the morning, Paul gives us three reasons why he was so dead set on going with the gospel, on getting the gospel to people. Can I ask you a question this morning? Or may I guess the proper grammar is, may I ask you a question this morning? Who shared their faith with you? Who is it that shared their story with you? How did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Well, I want to submit to you, somebody had to share the good news with you before you were saved. And I want to thank God for the Holy Spirit. He ran me down many, many years ago, and He used several people to share the good news with me. So we're to be on the go. Are y'all with me? Look at your neighbor and say, let's go. Say it again, let's go. All right, we're going to go with the gospel this morning. Now, three reasons. Are you ready for this? We have an evangelistic obligation to go. We have an evangelistic obligation to go. Verse 14 again says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Paul said, I'm a debtor. A debtor is someone who owes someone else. Someone who owes someone else. And so Paul, we're not talking here about a financial debt. We're talking about a spiritual debt. Paul owed the Lord Jesus a debt that he couldn't pay off, but he wanted to pay down on it. Does that make sense? And so Paul, just think about, why was Paul so spiritually obligated by this spiritual debt? Well, because of all Jesus had done for him. I mean, think about Paul. The Lord had forgiven him of his sin. The Lord had given Paul his peace. The Lord had given Paul's life meaning. The Lord had given him purpose. And so, I mean, he had given Paul the abundant life. And so Paul felt like he owed Jesus a spiritual debt to share the gospel. Let me just ask you a question. Has Jesus done anything for you? I wished I was y'all's age again. Knowing now what I know, woo! Has Jesus done anything for y'all? What has He done for you? Talk to me. Yeah, rain. What has He done for you? What has He done for you spiritually? Some of you are struggling right now. What has Jesus done for you? You see, we're like Paul. We owe a great spiritual debt to our Lord and Savior. But we also have a global debt. Now watch this. A global debt. He says, I'm a debtor to Greeks and to barbarians, to wise and unwise. In other words, Paul owed this debt to everyone. By the way, everyone needs an opportunity to have a relationship with Christ Jesus. Everybody deserves that. Everybody needs to have their sins forgiven, right? I mean, all of us need that. And so Paul went all over the known world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was on the go. And you and I, this is the reason that we go where we go. Because Jesus told us we have a global debt to pay. I want you to think about it this way maybe. Let's just say that, I hate cancer. My dad died from leukemia. Some of you all have had loved ones. Probably cancer has touched everybody in this room some shape, some way, some form, some fashion. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody at Second Mile Church discovered the cure for cancer? Wouldn't that be great? Come on, Daryl, say amen. Wouldn't it be great if somebody discovered the cure for cancer? Right here. But what if that person kept it a secret and wouldn't share the cure for cancer. That'd be almost akin to a crime, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? We have the greatest cure for the greatest problem on the planet. We've got the cure for sin. And for us not to share it, we have an evangelistic obligation to go and share. We're debtors. We're obligated. Here's the second reason Paul was on the go. We have an evangelistic passion to go. We should have an evangelistic passion to go. Man, look at this. Look at verse 15. Paul says, "So as much as in me, I am ready." What was that song we used to hear on the radio a couple years ago about an athlete? Y'all know it too. All right. Paul said, "Man, I am ready." That word ready means to be on fire. It means to be heated up. This is our word. We get our word thermometer from this. Paul was personally passionate about sharing the gospel. He was ready. He was on fire. He couldn't wait to get the message to the next person. He was passionate about that. Personally passionate. And by the way, we ought to be passionate about sharing our faith. 100%. Now, can I ask you a question? Another question. Why was Paul so passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus? What is it that's going to get us on fire and hot to share the good news? Well, let me just give you some real hardcore truth. The Bible teaches this. Jesus teaches it. He spoke of hell as a real place. And hell is real. It's not something, a lot of folks, increasingly, a lot of folks that are affiliated with the church don't believe in a literal hell anymore. Can I just tell you, Jesus said that hell is like, it's a place of outer darkness. He said it's a place of everlasting punishment. It's a place of eternal separation. He said that it's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? It's a place of torment, Jesus said. He said it's a place where the worm dieth not. People will be in hell and never be able to die. And he said hell is a place that's where the fire never goes out. Hell is a real place. And so I believe that's what made Paul say, listen, y'all are passionate about the storm that came through here. And I've seen a lot of fire trucks running up down the road. What would you do if your neighbor's house was on fire and their kids were in that house? You'd do everything you could in your power to get them out of there, wouldn't you? Well, I want to tell you, the vast majority, Jesus said, of people are going to hell, forever separated from God. Now, God didn't make hell for us. As a matter of fact, Jesus went to our hell for us so that we wouldn't have to go. But here's the deal. We got a problem. And that problem causes tremendous separation between us and God. And that problem is what? That's right. And so Paul was passionate about soul winning and sharing his faith and witnessing because he knew that people were lost and they were going to die in their sin and have to pay for their sin. The Lord created hell for the devil and his angels, not for us. But Jesus said the vast majority are on that wide road that leads to destruction. Personal passion. Do you have that? How many of you have a family member that's lost? I'd say that's the majority of us. How many of you have a neighbor or a really good friend that doesn't know Jesus? Every hand that just went up, if they don't come to faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. I didn't say that. That's what this book says. Whew. Are you passionate about sharing your faith? Personally passionate. But then he talking here about a universal passion. Now, you need to know this. He said, as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. That word preach is not talking about preachers. It's talking about people who are proclaimers. People who are like a herald. Someone who will share his or her faith. Okay? And so Paul took this debt, this obligation, and he was so passionate that he went all over the place. He went to Jerusalem, the religious center of the world, with the gospel, and he was mobbed. He went to Athens, the intellectual center of the world, with the gospel, and he was mocked. And he went to Rome, the legal, judicial center of the world in his day, with the gospel. And you know what they did to him? They murdered him. But Paul was passionate about sharing the gospel because people were lost and dying in their sin. How passionate are you about people finding Jesus? And I said this last week, many of you are living a pretty decent life. You're living good because you got Jesus in you. And if there's anything good in my life, it isn't Cal Hampton, it's Jesus. Same thing with you. But it's not enough just to live a good life. We need to get verbal and speak why we live the way we live. Can I get a witness in here? Amen. This week, our Good News Club up at Moore, we saw four little boys pray to receive Christ. Hallelujah. At the downtown commons, there was over 1,000 young people and adults. 93 teenagers prayed to receive Christ. Hallelujah. 32 came for baptism. 114 made recommitments, or what I like to call personal revival. And then there was another 100 plus that had questions about things. And 33 churches were involved in that. Hallelujah. Have you got passion? Here's the third reason. We have an evangelistic affirmation to go. An evangelistic affirmation to go. Look at verse 16. Man, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I'm so thankful for a drink of water. I'm thankful for the living water, though. Hallelujah. Now, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In other words, Paul's proud of the gospel. And we can be proud of the gospel, too. We can be proud, first of all, of its supremacy. The gospel is supreme. It's supreme. In other words, it's first and foremost. The most important thing on the planet this morning is for people to be in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's more important than anything. And yet we spend all of our time, a lot of our time, on things that are not as important. And a lot of good things are good to do and good to, but let me tell you, the first and foremost is sharing the gospel. That's it. And by the way, how many of you know the gospel? Man, it has stood the test. I talked to a lot of college kids today. I love ministering to college age kids. And they tell me that when they go off to college or go off to work, their professors and their peers make fun of their faith and ridicule them, tell them they're ignorant for believing the way they believe. And have mercy, the media makes fun of our morality because they think that maybe that'll keep them from sharing the God. Have y'all, don't you love the athletes after a great victory and some lost news reporter will stick a microphone in their face and immediately they'll say, I just want to give all glory to my great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And watch the news reporter. They don't know what to say. I mean, and they quickly jump to another issue. And again, they'll say, I just want to give God the glory. Are y'all watching the same stuff I'm watching? It's amazing, isn't it? Man, the gospel is, we can be proud of it in its supremacy. Hallelujah. But secondly, Paul's talking about here, he was proud of the gospel not only because of its supremacy, but because of its sufficiency. Hallelujah. The gospel has what we need. It's got power. Power. It is the power of God. Anytime you're sharing the gospel, the good news, what is the gospel? Christ died for our sin. He was buried so that our sins could be put away. He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He drowned all of our sins in the depths of the sea, and there's no more fishing allowed. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later so that we could have victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Isn't that wonderful? That's the gospel. It's simple, but it's powerful. Man, I've seen the gospel turn an old drunken alcoholic into a sober human being. I got a buddy down in Waynesboro, and before he got saved, he showed me a picture of his truck, and a police officer had shot that truck, had 17 bullet holes in it. And old Jay's so proud of that. He said, guess what? Now I'm doing the shooting. He said, I'm firing the gospel at everybody that I can find. It is so powerful. It'll turn a prostitute into purity. It'll turn a liar into somebody who's honest. It'll turn a thief into somebody who's a giver. There's great. How has God changed your life? Aren't you different today? It's the power of God. It's sufficient for everything. I'm just so full of this message today, we could go on all afternoon. We can be proud of the gospel, because it's first and foremost, it's supreme. And it's simple, but it didn't come cheaply. But we can be proud of the gospel, third and finally. Whew. Because of its simplicity, and I've already mentioned that. But why do we try to make something so hard out of it? Man, it's not hard to share the gospel. All we got to do, Dwight had the witnessing class a few weeks ago. All you got to do is just tell somebody what your life was like before you knew Christ, how you came to Christ, and what Christ is doing in your life now. Everybody's got a story to tell if you're saved. If you don't have a story, you need a good dose of Jesus. Very simple. And then I got to thinking this week about all of Paul's experiences. Do you know, when you read through the book of Acts, I love reading about the Apostle Paul. They had to, in Damascus, he had to get out of town because he'd shared the gospel so powerfully. And they lowered him over the outside city wall in a basket so he could escape and get out of Damascus. Can't you imagine Good Morning America showing up down there? And Robin Roberts walks up to the Apostle Paul. Aren't you a little bit embarrassed? You had to get in a basket so you could get out of town. And can't you hear Paul? Robin, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. You remember Paul was stoned in Lystra and they left him outside a town to die? You remember that? And all of a sudden, Paul got back up. I mean, bruised and bloodied and beaten. And he heads back to town, to Lystra. Can't you just see CNN showing up and old Anderson Cooper sticks a microphone in front of Paul and says, Paul, aren't you tired of coming to Lystra? Don't you wish you'd never come here? And Paul said, Anderson, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I got to thinking about one of my favorite stories in Acts is the Philippian jailbreak. Any of y'all been set free? Three of you. Amen. I mean, they whipped Paul publicly and beat him. And then they put stocks around his feet and threw him in jail. And an earthquake angel came and set him free. Hallelujah. Can't you just imagine Sean Hannity showing up for an interview? Paul, wasn't it a little bit embarrassing to be publicly whipped and beaten? I mean, wasn't it embarrassing to be thrown in jail? Sean, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Can I ask you a question? Why? Would Wade and Casey Rainey leave two lucrative jobs as physical therapists in Nashville and take their three small children to the Dominican Republic because they're not ashamed of the gospel? It's the power of God to everyone who believes. And people are being saved in the DR because they were passionate and they were obligated. And they were affirmed in their call. I just saw her sitting back there. There's Amanda Maglaccio right back here. She's one of our IMB missionaries. What would cause Amanda to leave the comfort and the confines of Cunningham, Tennessee, to go to India? It's because she cares enough for the souls of people. She wants others to have what she has. And by the way, everybody in here is a missionary if you're saved. Everybody. Every one of us. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul went to Rome. And eventually, the Roman authorities arrested him. And through him, I've seen this prison that he was in Rome, the Mamertine prison. And that was one of the darkest, coldest, and from everything I've ever read about that prison, it smelled to high heaven. It had a terrible stench. And his constant companions were rats and insects. And then it came time, tradition tells us, that Paul was sentenced to die. And so they come get the Apostle Paul, and they bring him to the chopping block. His feet are still chained, his hands, and they lay his head down on the chopping block. And that old Roman soldier raises that blade. And somebody in the crowd said, "Now look where your gospel got you, Paul." And can't you just hear Paul? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hallelujah. 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 Friend, you cannot be ashamed of the gospel if you're one of God's people. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. And by the way, Jesus said this in Mark 8:38. Listen to me. Listen to me. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. This morning, having a little bit different altar call. Where's Terry? Terry Perry. You got that sheet? Katie's got it. Katie, hold that up. This is a sign-up sheet for everybody in the church house. Put your name on that, John Henry. If you'd be obligated enough, passionate enough, and affirmed enough in the gospel to just share your faith one time a week, just one time a week, I want to ask you to put your John Henry on that sheet. And you know, surely somebody during that 52 weeks will give their life to Jesus. And if we had 20, that's 1,040 times we shared the gospel. What if we had 100 that would just share their faith once a week? God would turn this place upside down, because we can't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of Almighty God. And if you're here today, I know y'all and love y'all enough, you got somebody on your heart and on your mind that's lost. Here's another missionary family right over here. They're everywhere. And we're going to open up this altar. And Katie, if you want to just leave that thing laying up here in just a minute. And you, the scripture says, Dwight mentioned this in his witnessing class here. The very first thing you need to do in witnessing, soul winning, sharing your faith, being on the go, is to pray. To bathe that lost person in prayer. And then be willing to go and share your faith with them. You see, God's the one who saves, not us. We're just supposed to share. And so I want to open this altar up this morning and invite you to come and pray for lost people. And then I want to challenge you to get on the go and start sharing Jesus with people. And this sign-up sheet will be right up here. I'm not going to coerce anybody. I'm not going to fuss at you. I'm not going to do any of that. I just want to see our church family. I want God to open up the door of evangelism here at Second Mile Church. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. And then I want to ask you to just come and pray. You can pray right there in your seat, but there is something about accountability when you come forward to pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, I don't even know where everybody's at with this, but Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses. You shall be when the Holy Spirit has come." And He has come. And God, if we're not fishing for the souls of people, we're not following Jesus. So help us, God, this morning to bring our loved ones to this old-fashioned altar and pray for them to be saved. And the second part of that is that we'd be willing to go and get in a gospel conversation with that loved one or somebody else, whoever's on our heart and mind. And by all means, Father, if there is one or two or ten here that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, oh God, may today be the day of salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not sure about your, absolutely sure about your salvation, I'll be up here, some deacons will be up here, some counselors will be up here, and we'll be glad to share how you can come to faith in Jesus Christ today. Father, bless this time. We want to lift up Jesus, and may He do the drawing. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Please stand to your feet quietly and reverently. Thank you. Don't wait. Just come on. Just come on. Just step out in the aisles and come. That's right. Just come on. Just step out and come. You've got a lost family member. You've got a lost friend that you love. Bring them to Jesus right here. Hallelujah. Just come on.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.